You'll find information on how to support us at the end of this podcast. Okay, now I'm going to talk about your overflow. I'd like to explain to you how the overflow works. We'll explain it this way. If you're eating food for your day, and there's only so much food you can eat, but if you're eating food that will sustain yourself for the day and for your family, and when you get food left over, you don't throw it in the bin or in the rubbish. If you're a nice person, you distribute it to all those who need food. So when you're praying in tongues and you're building yourself up on your most holy faith and you're getting all of your daily needs met through your prayers, because the Bible says, Jesus says, pray after this manner, Lord, give us our daily bread. The Bible says he daily loads your benefits up. You know, so today is evil enough for itself. So God has a daily clock in your life, or a daily span. So each day there's enough spiritual food provided for you. So when you're praying in tongues and you're building yourself up and you have overflow, abundant, then what you can do is that food or that spiritual prayers, where do they go? Well, God's word doesn't come back void, and his prayers are inspired by the Holy Spirit when you speak in tongues. So they're not going to come back void. So they're going to go out and sustain all of the other saints who are not praying as much, who need more food for that day. And he's going to evenly disperse that those prayers or those revelations or that power or that supply or that grace or that, you know, the Bible says he shall supply your needs according to his riches in glory. All of their needs will be distributed to all of the ones who are lacking through your prayers. So when you've got hundreds or thousands or millions of people all over the world praying in tongues, and some of them don't reach their daily level, they're undernourished spiritually, but some eat a full square meal every day, and they're able to have more than overflow, and that can be given unto everybody else. That's how God distributes all the food, all the spiritual food. He uses your prayers, and the overflow of your prayers goes to supply the needs of all the other saints. So if you want to pray your way into the things of God, he's going to use that day's prayers to get you further up the track, and as well the overflow, he's going to distribute that to the rest of the saints. That's a revelation that God showed me. So that's a motivation enough for you to pray more than just 5 minutes a day. I prayed for 5 hours a day, and I used a lot of that, I'm sure, to get myself out the ditch. And once I got myself out the ditch, once I got myself spiritually fattened up, once I got myself in spiritual health, once I got myself spiritually on track, I was able to produce more spiritual food for everybody else around the world, around my neighborhood, around everywhere that God saw fit. My prayers were directed directly at those individuals. The Holy Spirit switched my prayers, and I was praying for someone in somewhere, some other place who is crying out to God, help me, give me understanding. I need more from you. And God would give them revelation about praying in tongues and about seeking him. He would put a fire in them. He would put a hope in them. And they would start praying in tongues. And that hope would start to form even clearer and clearer, and the picture would get more and more clarity, and then faith would form, and they would start to move in that. They might start praying. They might have a very limited prayer life, but there's always a fire in their belly, or there's always a desire to go forward. So they're not praying much, but there's this burning desire to go forward. Where's that desire coming from? It's coming from the prayers of the saints. So Paul even said, first of all things, I would that you make prayer for all the saints, so that you would supply their needs. people who are in a situation where they can't pray, people who have been taught that prayer isn't that valuable, you can pray on their behalf and God can supply their needs according to his riches and glory on your behalf because you have sown into their life. So do you think at the end of the day when you're standing before the Lord and you've never witnessed to anybody and brought them to the Lord personally, and you've never seen a healing or no, you've never participated in prayer where someone got healed, but yet there's all these people standing around you and you're saying, where did these people come from? These people are rejoicing because you prayed, because you were a prayer. You never saw people get filled with the Holy Spirit through you. You never prayed for anybody and saw them healed. You never kicked any demons out of anybody, but you were a prayer. You just prayed in tongues. And there's all these people standing around you rejoicing because of you, because your prayers, God used your prayers to get them over the line. He used your prayers to sustain their spiritual life. He used your prayers to breathe spiritual life into them so that they could continue on. He used your prayers to supply their needs. So, you know, we talk about helping these poor little kids in India and Africa, and, you know, the world comes to us and say, give us money, and we, you know, we educate them and all this. What about all the starving, spiritually starving saints in the world? And you're praying, you're supplying their need, you're sowing into their life. That's the treasure that you've been building up. Lay up treasure in heaven. We used to sing a song. Life will pass away. Lay up treasure for abundant measure for the great accounting day. There's going to be a great accounting day and God's going to say, what could I do through you? Well, I didn't use you for healing. I didn't use you for deliverance. But I used you to secure the lives of other saints. And you didn't even know it. You sat down on your nice comfortable lounge in air-conditioned comfort with a cup of tea right beside you and you prayed for hours on behalf of the rest of the body of Christ. And you got a reward for that. Yeah, but Lord, I didn't go out. People didn't beat me up and chase me down the street. People didn't reject me. I just sat inside my house and prayed in tongues. You can do as much on your knees as anybody else physically going and doing stuff. You can tear up the kingdom of darkness with your prayers. When you pray in tongues, you transform darkness. You chase it away. You cause it to hemorrhage in your life, around you, and all over the world, wherever the Lord wants to use that prayer. So he uses the prayers of the saints to enact righteousness upon the earth. He uses the prayers of the saints to actually supply and secure and save and rescue other saints. He uses the prayers of the saints to reach unsaved people. They may say, well, I didn't go to any faraway country and preach the gospel. No, your prayers will supply the power for the saints who are there, the ones who are at that country trying to preach the gospel because Jesus sent them. Your prayers supply their need. Your prayers empower them to speak. Paul said that I ask you all to pray so that the door may open, that I may be able to speak the gospel. He speaks about that, I think, in Ephesians. So Paul was asking the saints to pray everywhere so that he could have doors open for him that would give him the inspired words to go and speak unto unsaved people. That's how powerful your prayers are. So first you have to feed yourself first. You can't go feeding everybody else around the world and you starving. That's stupid because there's no long-term, no lasting, no sustainability in that. So first God fattens you up first. He gets you organized first because judgment must start at the house of God. That's you. So judgment must start with you. So the Holy Spirit comes to your house and says, we need to rip up that floor. We need to put down a stable floor. We need to fix that roof up because you got lots of leaking when it rains. We need to fix that wall up and that window because cold wind is blowing in and causing trouble in this house. So the Holy Spirit starts repairing that house so that the people living in that, I'm talking about your spiritual body. I'm talking about this tabernacle. I'm talking about you. So the whole, and I'm talking about your mind. You know, the Holy Spirit comes and he gets you out the ditch and then he transforms your mind. And then when you've got that organized, then he starts warfaring over everybody else. He starts warfaring over the rest of the world because you now have become a righteous instrument for God's work. That's how it works. So you may be able to be, you may go out into the deepest parts of Africa or India and brave the cold elements and all of the persecution, and you'll say, that was your lot, but God will supply your needs. And he'll supply your needs through your prayer and through the saints who are praying all over the world. And they don't have to be praying specifically for you because they may not know you. But God knows you. And God can direct their prayers because the Holy Spirit organizes and directs all of the administration. You know, he administrates all the prayers. He administrates all the giftings. And we know that when we pray in tongues for edification. And then we pray in tongues for intercession. And then also we pray in tongues for interpretation. So the interpretation can be for other people, or it can be for ourselves. God's ministering to us, to our soul. We can pray for intercession, and it can be for other people or it can be for us. We can be interceding on behalf of our broken house, fixing up our place. Fixing up our dwelling, for God dwells in holiness and he will only fellowship with the change that's inside you. So as he starts renovating your house, your earthly tabernacle, your mind, your will and your emotions, your soul, once he starts bringing your useless thinking, your twisted and deformed thinking into something that has clarity and that is focused on the kingdom of God, and that has your mind on heavenly things and not on the things on earth, then he can start working on other people's buildings through your prayers. So your prayers are powerful. Your prayers are dynamic, and they also destroy all the fabric of the enemy. They cause them to rupture. They cause them to hemorrhage inside. They cause disruption within their whole ranks. Your prayers, when you pray in tongues, and when you pray in tongues and the Holy Spirit gives you interpretation and you speak English, declaring things, then your prayers are inspired words of God, and they disrupt and rupture the kingdom of darkness around you and even in other parts of the world. That's how powerful your prayers are. All you've got to do is pray yourself out the ditch first, then pray the sanctification of your mind so that when you look around, you don't look at everybody as being losers, but you start to have clarity in your mind and you start to have the mind of Christ and you start to look at people with compassion, saying, you poor things, I'm going to help you out the ditch. Can I minister to you with love and gentleness and kindness? You know, there's the goodness and the severity of God. Sometimes you have to say harsh things into people's lives. Some people can't do that. Sometimes they don't have the capacity. But the Holy Spirit will enable you to speak words of blessing and encouragement, words of correction into people's lives. But first, the Holy Spirit has corrected your life. And then after he's corrected your life, then he can use you to correct other people's lives. He can use you to inspire other people. He can use you to uplift and encourage other people. You know, so it's all about transformation of your life, then your soul, and then you help be a part of the transformation of other people's lives. But first, you have to have patience. And the patience is the thing that will get you through all of that. In your patience, possess you your soul. So if you have patience enough to go through the transformation of first you, your natural life being fixed up, then your mind, your will and your emotions, which is your soul, and then after that, you're able to be used to help other people. And then you become a blessing. You become an instrument of righteousness in the kingdom of God. And as you keep maintaining your level of holiness, as you keep maintaining your life, you are continually used. And as you see Jesus for who he truly is, as you behold his image, you are transformed from glory to glory. You're moved into a higher level of operation because God has got you further out the ditch. He's also transformed other parts of your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And then he can move you into a higher place to operate in a higher level, and the enemy can't come against you because you're out of the ditch for that part and your soul has been redeemed for that part, and the enemy can't accuse you. You operate in the level that your holiness is, and then you pray and you get yourself further out the ditch, your mind gets transformed further, and then you are moved up higher into a higher capacity. And then you start ministering to people in a higher capacity. And the enemy can't come against you because you're holy and righteous, because you've been transformed by the agency of the Holy Spirit. It's that easy. That's how it works. But people want to short circuit things. They want to do things the wrong way. They want to climb over the wall. They want to enter in not through the straight gate. They want to not enter in the way of the prescribed gate. They don't want to get baptized. They don't want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They just want to play church. And yet they want to go and tear it up. They want to go after the enemy. And all they'll end up getting is trouble and misery, because the enemy will push back onto their lives because they have not got themselves out the ditch and they haven't transformed their soul through the power of the Holy Spirit, and they become prey. Pastors who pray for people when their lives are all messed up, right? If they pray beyond the capacity of their stability, the enemy will come and wreck them. He'll come and warfare against them and their family. So my advice to any single person, whether you're just a person in the church or you're a pastor or an oversight, pray, get your life out the ditch, transform your soul through prayer and fasting, and then you'll be able to minister to people. You'll be able to minister to them from the kingdom of God, from the table of the Lord, from the word of God. And you'll be inspired by the Holy Spirit to speak into their life words that are truly from the throne room of God. And as they come down, they have power and they won't come back void. Even if those people that you speak into their lives won't receive it, the day that they start to move into the things of God, it's been sitting there waiting for them. Those words of encouragement that will come back to them and minister to them, because his word doesn't come back void. So his word will wait and wait until that person is in a place to receive it. And then they'll get back paid with all of the encouragement, all the exaltation, all the lifting up, all of the encouragement, they'll get lifted up with all the correction. They'll be able to receive the correction. They'll be able to make correction in their life through the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit dominate their thinking, and they'll be transformed. But what we need to stabilize our thinking first, because we bring judgment on other people. We're out the ditch and we look at other people and say, you losers, you need to stand on the stable ground that I'm in. But what we do is we're just making judgments from our unredeemed soul, and our pride gets in the way. And we forget that we were once in the ditch. You know, Jesus said to the lady at the well, come and drink of this water, and you'll never thirst again. Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water, multiple streams, rivers. So from the throne room can flow multiple streams of pure, clean water that come directly from the throne room of God, untouched, unviolated, unpoisoned, pure, crystal clean rivers of water. But in your life, you have multiple streams of muddied up water. and God wants to flush them out. It's a lifetime event. God will get rid of the major water waste. He'll clean them up for you, and they'll no longer be muddy or silted up, but they'll have pure water running through them. But all the tributaries and all the little backwater ways that you have in your life, He'll be continually cleaning them up. It's a lifetime process of prayer and transformation. I'll tell you a story. I know a sister who had a husband, and they ministered to people for years and years and years. And her husband was a wonderful man. She said there was no bad stuff in him at all. He was a nice, kind, gentle man. But he got sick, and he ended up getting dementia. And because he got dementia, he was unable to maintain his natural hold on those muddied up streams that God hadn't cleaned up. There were some things he kept back from God. He wouldn't allow God to change or to flush through with rivers of living water to flush out those little streams. And they came back to bite him at the end of his old age. When he didn't have the capacity to, with his own personal will, to maintain them, they started surfacing. And he had an aggression inside him that he never dealt with through the Holy Spirit. So I'm telling you that if you get to old age or you're incapacitated in some way, you aren't unable to, by your own strength, keep those muddy waters from surfacing, they will surface and they will show all the cracks in your life. Now, you won't lose your salvation through it, but it will show who's who in the zoo. All things that are covered and hidden will be made manifest. You can't get away from it, for the light will declare it. So it's wise to go to God and let Him continually transform your life, and don't hide away any special streams that you don't want to deal with, because at the end of the day, you won't be able to hold them back with your own strength, and they will break through into the surface and people will see them. You know, we've heard of the story of the little nice lady who, you know, never swears, never does nothing, and then she goes to hospital and she gets under a whole lot of anesthetic, and all of a sudden she turns into a crazy, swearing, filthy-mouthed old lady, and all her family looking at her and going, "Granny never said that sort of stuff." But she was under the influence of drugs, and she wasn't able to maintain her own natural strength, and all this junky stuff came to the surface. But if you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit will deal for all of those backwaters. He will flush them through with pure, clean water, and you will have a life that is holy. Now, none of us, I don't think any of us, ever going to get through all our life without all of our water, all of our backwaters being dealt with. It's a hard thing to do, but it's a good idea to start and continue the work. It's very wise not to hold things back, for they will come to bite you in the end of the days when you lose control. We need to have God in control of our life. We need to be able to totally let go, be totally naked before God without holding anything, any secret stuff back, and be able to open ourselves up before people, and they will see all of our streams, that they are pure and righteous and holy, and they come from the throne room of God. That's the end game. That's the big picture. That's a continual work in our life. We're an ongoing work, and we're not to feel condemned, but we're to let the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus deliver us from the life of sin and death, or the law of sin and death in our life. So we walk in the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He will set us free from the law of sin and death. That's how we do it. Pray in tongues, let the Holy Spirit do the work, and let Him clean everything up, let Him flush all the backwaters out, and we won't have hidden streams that we've been hiding from the world or from our family or from ourselves. That's even worse. We didn't even know that they were there, and all of a sudden they start surfacing. So you need to let God be the administrator of your life, of your soul. You let him transform your soul without any hesitation. You don't grab the steering wheel of your car. Again, you let him deliver you completely from all of the imperfections in your soul. And as you go and live in this world, there are things that bleed over, ideas and thoughts, and we just live in a yucky world. And sometimes it encroaches on our streams without us even knowing about it. God needs to continually flush those things out through the blood of Jesus by the Holy Spirit, the transformation, the sanctification of the soul through the Holy Spirit. But if we keep moving forward and we just rest in God and let him complete the job, let him complete the renovation, and we don't move in into the rooms that aren't fully renovated, and we just wait and we have patience, then he'll move us into a place where the love of God will start moving in our life, and we will cover a multitude of sins. We will see the people who are in the ditch not as losers, but as people who need help. And the love of God will move through us, which is the greatest power source of all. We'll stretch forth our hand in love and compassion, and the Holy Spirit will move through us, and he will get them out the ditch. We won't be saying, "Get out the ditch, you loser." You know, we will say, "Can I help you?" And it will be genuine. It'll come from God. It'll come from the inspiration of the love of God through us. That's how it works. So we'll just leave it there. So if you'd like to help Don and I out at Clear Vision Revival, then just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.